Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails.
Love the way that David talked about worship in heaven this morning. And you know what I was thinking about as I got a front row seat to our children? I was thinking about how scripture talked about David dancing in worship. That was one of my favorite images of worship in the Bible, because to me it's like him being so free as he just worshiped before the Lord. And that's what I love when our children are in worship, that we just get to see all of you wonderful, beautiful kids be free. And just so you know, they use those streamers upstairs in Children's Church on a regular basis. And so Jennifer, woo, she gets to see them dance and play with their streamers every week. And so we wanted them to be comfortable in this worship space, which is not their normal worship space. But we invite them to be join us as the large body of Christ on Communion Sunday to come before God at his table. Because there's nothing more important that we do in worship services than come to the Lord's table. And then to bring our children to inspire us of the generations of the church. We have easily four generations of the family of God represented in this room right now, if not five. Isn't that beautiful? It just lit up my soul to look at these beautiful children be free before God. And to think about as an adult how sometimes it's hard for me to do that. But even more so, the love. Because that's what we're talking about today, is the love of God and the purity in love. Just to throw out, if you were like brought with joy watching the children, you can always join them in Children's Church. I will take no offense. I will not feel bad if you just get the urge one Sunday to go worship with them. You're still in worship. It doesn't matter which service you're at. But they do worship every Sunday upstairs. We hear them sometimes, right? Through the wall. And it's a beautiful noise. So thank you, children, for joining us. As we talk about love this morning, I'm reminded about how everything we do is guided by love. In theory, right? That's our hope as Christians, that we do everything through the lens of love. All of our actions, all of our thoughts, all of our deeds, all of our words, everything is through love. And we've been talking about scripture. This is the last week of our sermon series, Fire in the Bones, where we've been talking about how the Word of God lives within us in a way that it ignites a passion for God. And kids, you were with us on the first week, and now you get to be with us on the last week as we finish looking at what God's Word means in our life. So I'm glad that you're here. And so we're going to talk about what it means for us to reflect on all of our learning through the understanding of love. And the video that we watched took a portion of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And chapter 13 is often referred to as the love chapter. And I want to read the last verse of that for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. That's not hard to say at all. So hear the last verse. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So we're going to talk about everything we've talked about in the past 4 weeks, but in the lens of love. And the reason I use that word lens, kids, every time you hear me say lens, I want you to imagine putting on glasses, and they're love glasses. Okay. And I don't mean they make you feel oogly googly. I mean that they make you feel like you love people as God loves you. So when we look at things, we're looking at them through God's love. Kind of like if you put on purple sunglasses, you see purple. So we're going to put on love glasses today and look at everything through the lens of love. So we had been reviewing each week because we said that our topics kind of built on each other. But this week we're going to go back from the beginning and reflect on what it meant for each topic to be through love. Sound okay? All right. I want to give you an idea because I know it's Communion Sunday and you don't want me to talk too long. All right. So the first week we talked about the idea that Scripture shapes the world. It's our truth. Right? It's the thing that fundamentally defines everything we do. We have to use it. We have to read it. It has to come off the shelf, and it transforms us, and sometimes the truth can be uncomfortable. But if we think about that from the perspective of love, there is truth in love. We can't separate truth and love. Have you ever met a person that speaks the truth all the time, but there's no love in their life? You have, right? No. God bless you. I wish I was you. It's the idea of someone knowing what's true, and they always come and tell you the truth, and sometimes you don't want the truth. Sometimes we just want someone to keep the truth to themselves. When we talk about the truth in love, what we mean is, and this is important for all of us to know, no matter how old we are, so boys and girls, listen to this. Sometimes it's hurtful to share the truth with people. And we have to recognize that to say the truth but to hurt somebody isn't loving. And we never see Christ doing that, sharing the truth to be hurtful. So we have to always do the truth in love. Not just to be right, but to be loving. So we speak truth in love, but on the flip side of that, love doesn't blind us. If we see people as God sees them through God's loving eyes, we still see their faults. You know, they always talk about when people are in love, they don't see what they do wrong. Right? It's not what we're talking about. God sees all our faults, right? He knows what we've done right and what we've done wrong, but he loves us anyway. Scripture teaches us what is good and what is holy, but how to love people no matter what. When they're kind and when they're unkind. When they include us and when they don't include us, we love them anyway. That's what Scripture teaches. We still see that they're unkind, but we continue to love. So that's what we talked about the first week, and love helps us in the truth. If we have truth but no love, we're not a very kind person, and that doesn't help us show the love of Christ, does it? So the second week, we talked about giving order. This was the Ten Commandments week, and we talked about how God gives us order and he gives us rules, and how the Ten Commandments never change. We have boundaries from the Ten Commandments, and they are forever. They're 3,500 years old, and they haven't changed since Moses brought them down the mountain. And these boundaries help us be free. They tell us what we can and can't do, and to be ourselves. They help us grow. But basically, they teach us two things: how to love God and love others. Rules about love. But we can go further than that when rules are more than rules, because rules are about loving others, right? We said that, loving God, loving others, but it's love fulfills the law. Jesus taught us that. When he came, he said, "I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law." And his life of love showed what it meant to bring the law to truth. Jesus showed us what it meant to love God and love others. He showed us what it meant to love one another. He showed us exactly what it meant to sacrifice for one another. The Old Testament, they didn't like to sacrifice for one another because they had laws about that. If someone took an eye, you took their eye. Jesus said, nope, we're not going to do that anymore. And everybody in the New Testament is going, what? But they did me wrong. And Jesus goes, yep, you're going to move on. And they're all going, oh. Jesus just wants me to turn the cheek. Oh my goodness, they insulted me. He's like, yep, Jesus, they called me names. Yep, Jesus, they told me that what I believe is wrong. Yep, Jesus, they weren't very nice to me. Yep. Jesus, they poked me. They took my favorite video game. You say that, but I bet you don't believe it. If we're going to have order without love, all we become is a bunch of Pharisees. Jesus came to teach us there's more than just rules, right? How many of us would want people to follow the rules and not take any love into consideration? When we get pulled over for speeding, we want there to be love and consideration, right? We know we broke the rules, but we want some consideration. Jesus taught us there's more than just the rules. We have to love a person for who they are. If we're going to love others, we have to look past an action into who the person is. And it's not an easy thing to do. But that's part of what Scripture teaches and what Jesus taught. We go on to the third week. We talked about grace. That grace meets us right now where we are, no matter what we've done. God always forgives. That grace shows us where to go and turns us into a new creation, forms us into a masterpiece. Now that's love, right? It is. God loves us no matter what kind of mess we're in. God loves us no matter what we've done. But if we are going to be the love of God, we have to give grace. Because see, grace is love. Grace and love go hand in hand. We have to give grace as God gives grace. And if we want to receive it, we have to give it. That's the hard part, isn't it? We sure don't want to give grace out to others as much as God does. We like to be stingy with that. I'm not pointing fingers. It's true. We keep up with how much people wrong us. It is what transforms and forgives us, the grace. And it's what transforms others. So if we're going to transform others, we have to give that grace to them. If God gives it, we have to give it back out. I just totally realized that I had wonderful scripture passages from Corinthians for you, and I just skipped them all. So I got to go back and read them so that you realize that I had a plan. Oops. Glenn, you don't have to go back and find my scriptures. Don't worry. So I'm just going to read and you can just kind of follow along. So hopefully you remember what I've said. So when we're talking about how there's truth in love from our passage, our 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6 says this. Love does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. See, that's truth in love. It's not about me being right. It's about what is right for God, right for others, making sure others have what is needed. We talk about holy justice, making sure people are cared for, our poor and our needy and our children. Not that I'd get what I want. That's love. And the Bible teaches us what is truth so that we know what we need to be fighting for. We go on to the second one, which was about the order and boundaries in love. We have, if I gave everything and I had to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast. But if I did not love, I would gain nothing. You see, if we follow every rule of the Bible but have no love, then what we did was nothing. Because what Christ tells us is that it's the internal transformation that matters. That's what the love teaches us. That it's not just what we do, it's what's inside. Have you ever heard anyone say, it's not what you did, but why you did it? My mom used to say that to me when I was a kid. I don't remember why. But she used to say it a lot. Faith is not what you do, but why you did it. My motivation for the things that I did, even if I did something good, if I didn't do it for the right reasons, that's what mattered to her. What was my motivation? And is that what matters to God? If we don't love others, we could do all the good deeds in the world. But if we don't love people, then we've lost everything. And then we come back to the idea of grace. We read, love is not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. See, that's the beautiful thing about grace, is when God forgives us, he has no memory of what we did wrong. We're not that way, are we? I wish I could forget that way. It'd be a lot easier, wouldn't it? If that could be like a spiritual gift, to have God forgiveness, and we could wipe our mind of people's wrongdoings. It takes a whole lot more work to forgive and move forward when we can't forget. It takes more love to move past when someone has hurt us. But too many times we remember when people hurt us, when people have been unkind, when a friend has been unkind, when a family member has been unkind. But if we're going to love, we have to move past that. And then our last piece that we talked about last week is that we have to be alive. The scripture is alive by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within us and brings the scriptures to truth. We all have that spark of the Spirit within that we have to call forth. It helps us to understand the scriptures, to be transformed by the scriptures. It helps us to build the kingdom of God. That is why he gave us the Spirit. But if we're going to do that, we have to realize that God gave us that Spirit because he wanted us to love. When I explain the Holy Spirit to my daughter, I tell her that the Holy Spirit is our superpower from God. She's 5. Give me a break. But it's our superpower from God to help us love people. That God gives us the Holy Spirit so that we have the power to love. Because we can't love like God on our own. But the Spirit gives us the power to do it so that we can love others. We can love everything around as God wants us to love. And then she usually goes, Mommy, does that mean I'm like Elsa? And I'm like, yeah, kind of. If Elsa loves everyone and makes always great choices, then yeah, that's the Holy Spirit. Yay. But yeah, you know, that's her world. We sing Frozen every day. But the Spirit gives us this power within that helps us to love and helps us to make good choices and know when God is happy with us so that we can do the work God wants us to do. And to be honest, in my life, it was easier for me to hear the Holy Spirit when I was young. Did you hear me, kids? It was easier for me to hear God when I was young. It's harder for me now. Because now I got all this adult stuff in my head. And I have to focus. And when I was your age, I could hear God easily because I didn't have to worry about all the adult stuff. And sometimes I ask God why he can't take me back to the way I was when I was a kid. Because I could love people as God wanted me to love them. And I saw people as God wanted me to see them. The last verse I want to share with you on this is verse 7. Love never gives up. Never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. The Holy Spirit never gives up on us. God never gives up on us. And he wants us to love in a way that never gives up. And that same not giving up is exactly why Jesus came, so that we could know the eternal love of God. So this morning, we're going to come to Christ's table. And often we call this a table of grace. But I want us this morning to think of this as a table of love.